Genesis chapter 15. Abraham believed God. You know, the Bible is the Word of God without a doubt, without any dispute. This is the Word of God that we have here. And it is written that we might know God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. There is no way of knowing God or Christ savingly apart from the Word of God. Every word in this book is inspired by God. God moved men to write the Bible, His Word. Therefore, one part is not more or less important than another part of the Word of God is. It is all important. But this one scripture where it says, "And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness," is expounded upon more than any other scripture in the Old Testament. Over in Romans 4 and Galatians chapter 3. We'll see both of those here in a little bit. But it is expounded more. It says over in Galatians 3 and verse 8, it says the gospel was preached unto Abraham. God preached the gospel to Abraham. Like Paul said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached is not after man. I didn't receive it from man, but the Lord taught me the gospel. Abraham could say the same thing. He could say the same thing. The Lord preached the gospel to him. Saying, over there in Galatians 3:8, saying, "In thee shall all the nations be blessed." Over in Galatians, Paul said, when this happened, when God spoke this to Abraham, he preached the gospel to Abraham. And Abraham knew. Abraham understood that this seed that was promised and spoken of by the Lord was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood that this was the Redeemer. That God was speaking of the Redeemer to him. This, he knew, this was the gospel he believed. He believed the same gospel that you and I believe. Same gospel in every way. Our Lord said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." He rejoiced. He saw it. He understood it. He understood the gospel and he believed God. He believed it. Now it says in verse 1, "After these things," these things, "after Abraham went and rescued his nephew Lot," after he'd been captured by those four kings, "after Abraham had gone down and whipped those kings and got Lot and all the goods that were taken and brought them back, and after the king of Sodom offered to make him rich over this, and Abraham said, 'No, you don't give me anything. I don't want anything, lest you say you made Abraham rich.'" I thought about this today. I thought, what an example of faith this was. What if Bill Gates, what if we saved one of his children? I think he has children. Well, what if we saved one of his children? And he came up and said, "I want to build you a new building." Would we say no? I thought about this today, sitting there as I was looking at this. Would I say no? If I was to save one of his children from a disaster or whatever, and he said, "I want to build you a nice building." Would we say no? I hope we would. I hope we would. But I'll tell you why. Because that building, if you allowed it, that building would always be known as the building that Bill Gates built and not the Lord. And Abraham said, "No, no. You're never going to look at me and say, 'I made Abraham rich.' Never." That's faith. Now, that's the faith of Abraham. And then after he met Melchizedek, and he paid tithes to him, he met him and Melchizedek blessed him, and he paid tithes to him, which demonstrates, here's another demonstration of Abraham's faith, the faith of God's elect, as demonstrated right here. The Lord will provide. He gave tithes of all that he had to Melchizedek because he believed. With all his heart, he believed the Lord will provide. He'll take care of me. He didn't hold back and say, you know, I might need this later on. No, he gave it. He gave it. And I believe he gave the best he had. The best he had. And then also it demonstrates his love to the Lord. Giving truly demonstrates our love to Christ. It demonstrates our love to one another. That's what it demonstrates. Then after these things, the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And no doubt this is Christ who came to him, speaking to him. For God has never dealt with a man apart from a mediator, not even Abraham. So I know this is Christ who's come to him in this vision. And notice also here, after these things, not before these things. Everything has its place. Everything has its time. Everything has its order. Not before these things. Every step is ordained of God. Every step. And every step prepares us for the next step. Everything we understand right now prepares us for more understanding, for more growth in grace, for more knowledge of Him. It prepares us. Every step prepares you for the next one. Listen to this verse. In John 13:7, Jesus answered, and he said unto him, that unto Peter, remember he's going to wash his feet? And Peter said, no, you're not going to do that. And the Lord said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You don't understand it right now, but you will. You will. Knowledge builds upon knowledge spiritually. You'll understand later on. But now here's the vision. And the first thing the Lord says to him, says to his servant, says to his friend, you know, he called Abraham his friend. He said, fear not. Fear not. How many times is that spoken in the Word of God? I started to write a lot of these down. Look it up in a concordance. There's too many. Fear not. This is a God of heaven and earth. This is God who is holy. This is God who is a light that no man can approach. This is God. And he comes to Abraham. And he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why did the Lord tell him not to be afraid? Why did he tell him to fear not? I believe it's this reason. Because the Lord appeared to him in a vision and spoke to him. What happened on the Mount of Transfiguration when that cloud come over and they heard a voice? Did they not fall down afraid? And he touched them and said, don't be afraid. What about in Genesis 28, Jacob? Look over in Genesis 28. We're in Genesis anyway. Over here in Genesis 28:17. Look at verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He was afraid. What about Habakkuk looked at here, what was it, a week ago? Habakkuk said, I heard thy speech, and I was afraid. I was afraid. What about John on the Isle of Patmos? I can go on and on and on with this. Isaiah, Jeremiah, when they heard God speak, they were afraid. No man, Mount Sinai, the people were afraid. No man, whether he believes God or not, does not believe God, no man has ever heard God speak that wasn't afraid, that it didn't bow him down. Now this religious world has never heard God speak. You wouldn't see or hear so much of this flippant stuff going on if they truly heard God speak. When these men stand on television and they say, well, God spoke to me last night. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. You look in the Word of God. You pay attention to it when you read. Every time God spoke to a man, he was afraid. He fell on his face afraid and gave reverence to God. But then also he said this to Abraham. He said, "Fear not." He said it to him as a word of encouragement. "Abraham, you have nothing to be afraid of. I just read to you in Psalm 3. Though 10,000 encamp against me, I will not be afraid." No. Another place it says, "I will not fear what man can do unto me." Fear not. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear at all. And here's the reason to fear not. Here's the reason. "I am thy shield." Do we believe that? Do we believe God is our shield? And he said, "and thy exceeding great reward." Romans 8 says this, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God is for me in salvation, if God is for me in justification, if God is for me in grace, if God is for me, who can be against me? Who can stand against me? Who can take me down? Who can charge? Well, you can charge me all you want, but it's not going to stick. If he be for us, who can be against us? And here, listen. Shield. He said, "I am thy shield." You know what that means? I'm your protection. I'm your protection. David said in Psalm 3, I just read, "I laid me down in what? And slept." "And then I wait. And I woke." Oh, I'm thy protection. I'm your protection, Abraham. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. I'm your God. Who delivered Abraham in that battle with the kings? Who delivered them into Abraham's hand? Did Abraham and 318 men do that? God did it. Listen, in verse 20 of the chapter 14. And blessed be the Most High God which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. That's Melchizedek speaking to Abraham. God delivered them into your hand. Whipped four kings. Whipped a great army with 318 men. Oh, he said, I delivered them. I'm your shield. I protected you. And I am thy exceeding great reward. Oh, he said, uses the word exceeding. And exceeding anything, everything you can think of. Exceeding anything even you can, even with these minds, even imagine. God exceeds that. And he said, I'm your reward. People are looking for rewards in heaven. These men preach, false preachers preach rewards in heaven. What's greater than God? Who's greater than Christ? Gold? Silver? A log cabin? A mansion? Or whatever? They're silly to even mention them, aren't they? Abraham, I'm your exceeding great reward. Abraham, listen, Abraham lost nothing. When he said to the king of Sodom, I don't want anything. Don't give me anything. He didn't lose anything, did he? He gained everything. Does the Scripture not say all things are yours in Christ? All things are yours in Christ. Even God Himself is yours in Christ. God Almighty is yours in Christ. God is the portion of His people. You're going to divide things out. You give this one a portion and that one a portion, this one a portion. God is our portion. Let's look at a few scriptures. Look in Psalm 16. Look in Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. But He's my portion. God's my portion. Look over in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Look at verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words, but thou art my portion. And then one other, Psalm 142. Psalm 142 in verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. God is our portion. I could go on and on with that one too. There's a lot of scriptures concerning that. Is he not enough? Is Christ not enough? Is God Almighty in Christ not enough? He is if you have him. If you have him, he's enough. Look over in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, I tried to write down more verses and less notes. I wanted us to see this in the Word of God. Luke 22. In verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Nothing. We lacked nothing. He provided. The Lord provided. And he is thy shield. As I read to you in Psalm 3, but I'm not going to turn to all these other ones I wrote down, but he's thy shield. You can write it down if you happen to be writing. Psalm 3:3 and Psalm 5:12, Psalm 84:11, Psalm 91:4, Psalm 119:114. I am thy shield. I am thy shield. And then Abraham, back here in verses 2 and 3. Abraham, after God speaks to him, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Now this is not unbelief. He's not questioning God. A.W. Pink said this. Abraham understood. He understood that heirship was based on sonship. So he knew. He knew if all the nations of the earth was going to be blessed through his seed, he's going to have a son. He's going to have to be an heir. There had to be an heir. I must have a son, Abraham says. If the Messiah... And he's speaking of the Messiah. He knows who that seed is. If the Messiah is going to come through me, if the Redeemer is going to come through my loins, if God is going to raise up a son, then he's going to have to give me one. He's going to have to give me one. Abraham believed that the seed of the woman that God spoke of concerning Eve was that same seed that was going to come through him and all nations be blessed. He believed that. He believed the gospel concerning God's Son. And God said in verse 4, look in verse 3. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir, his servant, a relation of his. And God said, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this is not your heir, this is not going to be the heir. He's not going to be the heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. The seed, this promised seed through whom all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed, Abraham is going to come through your bowels. It's going to come from your lineage. It's going to come through you. God promised Abraham that he's going to have a son, even though he was old man and Sarah was an old woman. God promised him he's going to have a son, and he believed him. He believed him. Let me read you this over in, I think it's Romans 4. Over here in Romans 4, let me read just a few scriptures down here. Romans 4, it says, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And over verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And then it goes on down here, and then let me see here. In verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, what's he mean against hope? He's dead. I mean, his body and Sarah's womb was dead. He was 90 years old at this time? They were way up there in years. But who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He didn't say, Lord, my body's dead. I'm too old. You have to use this heir. You have to use this young man in the house. He didn't even consider it. He did not consider the situation. He said, I believe you. I believe God. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. God promised that seed, that Messiah, that Deliverer, that Redeemer, and he didn't stagger at it. God said it, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. But he's strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Oh, Abraham, he believed what God said to him. He took God at his word and believed him. And then the Lord said here, and the Lord said, and behold, let me read verse 4 again. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad. He brought him out of the tent, evidently. And he said, now Abraham, look now toward heaven. Look toward heaven and tell the star, count the stars. Count the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. There's a multitude of the stars. You know, back here in chapter 13, it says in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. First thing he did, he said, look across the land. Look across all this. He said, this is going to belong to your seed. Your natural seed that's going to come out of you, and your spiritual seed. He was spiritually speaking. It's going to belong to you. Then he told him, look into heaven. Look upon the earth and look upon, that's how numerous the seed's going to be. Who's going to be able to count that multitude in glory? It's a number, and the scripture says that no man can number. No man can number. And all that is from that seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was the father of those Jews, and he's the spiritual father of all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, verse 6, and he believed in the Lord. Now this means more than he believed some facts. He didn't just believe some facts about the Lord. He didn't believe in some doctrines. He believed the Lord. He believed him. Against hope, he believed in hope. He didn't stagger. He didn't consider his own body now dead and Sarah. He said, I believe you. That's salvation. That's a gift of God. That's the faith, that's a gift of God. You take the word of God And people say, you really believe that a flood? I mean, you really believe this whole world was flooded? Yes. Do you really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale for 3 days, 3 nights? Yes. Yes. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He's the Mediator. I believe He's our right, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's all I need. I believe that. I believe the Word of God. I believe God. That's what he believed, God. When Abraham heard the gospel, when he heard the gospel preached to him, let me show you this over here in Galatians. Over here in the... Let's go over in Galatians chapter 3. In verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him, it was imputed to him, it was reckoned to him, and all that means is this, it was his. It's his. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now look over in verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This seed that he's been speaking of all along is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it is. And Abraham believed God concerning his son. He believed the record that God gave of his son. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It was imputed. The righteousness of God's son was reckoned, accounted, imputed to Abraham when he believed. And this is clearly a message of justification by faith. Clearly a message of justification by faith. There was no law given at that time. There was no law. There was no ceremonies. Abraham wasn't even circumcised at that time. Not at all. Abraham was justified by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before any of this other stuff was given. 400 and some years before the law was given. 430 years, I think it was, before the law was given. There is no justification apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I cannot do, we get all of us get together and we can't do one good thing. Not without sin. It's not possible. We could not do one thing that would please God and God would justify us on that ground. Not possible. Listen to this scripture. In Acts 13, 38 and 39. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. You could not be justified by the law of Moses. Abraham was not justified. Now listen. He was not justified by an act of faith, but by the object of faith. Jesus Christ. That act of faith was not imputed to him for righteousness, but it was the object of faith, the Lord our righteousness. That's what was imputed his righteousness was. The righteousness of Christ is what was accounted to Abraham. And notice here, no work is mentioned. Did not Abraham do some noble things? Did he not leave his father's house when he was told to in the land of Ur, the Chaldees? Did he not leave that place and go all the way? Go to a place that God said, I'll show you. He didn't know where he's going. And he did some mighty, mighty things along the way. Some years have passed by. He did some noble things, but not one of them is mentioned. Not one thing is mentioned. Other than this, he believed God. Even when Paul speaks of him in Romans 4 and in Galatians 3, he just says this, Abraham believed God. It was reckoned unto him, imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed God. And notice this. Abraham had no evidence that what God said would happen. He had absolutely no evidence that what God had promised was going to happen. He took God just upon His bare word. I take Him at His word. You said it. He believed the word of God. And when Abraham was declared righteous, and I'll close, when he was declared righteous, as I said, there was no law, there was no circumcision, it was just faith. He just believed God. That's all he did. Do I believe God? You know, Paul told the Corinthians, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself by the Word of God. Don't examine yourself by your feelings, but by the Word of God. Do I believe God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, Abraham believed God back in the Ur of the Chaldeans when God told him to leave. He believed God then. He believed God all along. He believed God for years. But it wasn't until that seed is spoken of that he's justified. That it righteousness, I mean, he was justified before that, but righteousness is said to be imputed when he believed God. Do I believe him concerning his son? If so, and I stand before God, you stand before God, if so, absolutely justified, cleared of all charges, cleared of all guilt. There are many who die every day in the faith, stand in the presence of God, and boy, do they rejoice in that. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result of this justification, as it says there in Romans 5, peace with God. Peace with God. What's that worth? What is that worth? Priceless. That commercial says, priceless. Peace with God. All right.